Hey everyone, this is your host Jim. Just wanted to jump on real quick to share a message that I had the privilege of preaching to our youth at our church not too long ago. So if you need some inspiration about the God that we serve, then you're going to want to listen to this message. Hope you enjoy. So let me go to that right now. For those following along on your digital or physical Bible, Psalm 19 is where we're going to come out of. I am going to be reading from what's called the ERV. It's an easy to read version. It sounds silly, but when I found it, I fell in love with it. The easy to read version is one of my favorite go-tos. Psalm 19.
Not 119.
Right. No, not 119. We're not going to be here for 30 minutes reading. And if you don't understand why that's funny, go ahead and read Psalm 119, and then you'll know why that was funny. Psalm 19. I'm just going to read the whole thing. It's not real long. It's just 14 verses. And again, I'm reading in the ERV. If you got a digital Bible. Verse 1 says, "The heavens tell about the glory of God. The skies announce what his hands have made. Each new day tells more of the story, and each night reveals more and more about God's power. You cannot hear them say anything. They don't make any sound we can hear, but their message goes throughout the world. Their teaching reaches the ends of the earth. The sun's tent is set up in the heavens. It comes out like a happy bridegroom from his bedroom. It begins its path across the sky like an athlete eager to run a race. It starts at one end of the sky and runs all the way to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The Lord's teachings are perfect. They give strength to his people. The Lord's rules can be trusted. They help even the foolish become wise. The Lord's laws are right. They make people happy. The Lord's commands are good. They show people the right way to live. Learning respect for the Lord is good. It will last forever. The Lord's judgments are right. They are completely fair. His teachings are worth more than pure gold. They are sweeter than the best honey dripping from the honeycomb. His teachings warn his servants, and good things come to those who obey him. People cannot seek their own People cannot see their own mistakes, so don't let me commit secret sins. Don't let me do what I know is wrong. Don't let sin control me. If you help me, I can be pure and free from sin. May my words and thoughts please you. Lord, you are my rock, the one who rescues me." I was listening to this the other day, I think it was Tuesday, and my wife asked me, was like, "Hey, do you want to share on youth on Thursday?" And I was like, "Actually, yeah, that would be cool," because as I was listening to the word and getting in that daily time, Psalm 19 really hit me hard, and I was like, "Oh man, I really love that. I want to go back to that." And so when she said, "Hey, you want to share?" I was like, "I know exactly where I'm going, Psalm 19." And as I was going back over this, there was some different sections, like the first half of it, or I should say the first third of it. It is all about God's glory in creation. Okay, it says the heavens tell about the glory of God. The skies announce what his hands have made. Each new day tells more of the story, and each night reveals more about God's power. You can keep reading it. But it's all about looking around and seeing just the nature, the glory of God, just in what he's created. And even through the things that his creations have created. You know, you think about the gazebo, which you're standing on, sitting on right now. Okay, you see all the buildings around here. God has a part to play in all of this. None of this would be possible without him, right? He put the stone in the ground for us to be able to pull out and learn how to make cement and steel. He put all that in the earth for us to be able to do that. And you even just think about just the natural stuff. You know, God is so, his mind is so huge and so big and expansive. It's all knowing. He knows every little detail of your life, right? You've heard that so many times. In church, God knows every detail about you. He knows every second of your life, every thought that's passed through your head. You know, we've heard that. But I want you to think about that at another level. He knows every detail of the tree that's behind me, how many years it's sat there, and how many people have sat under it for shade. He knows the detail of every bird that's flown up above the sky, every ant that's been on the ground, every detail of their life. I don't know if they have thoughts, if ants have thoughts or birds have thoughts like we think of them, but if they did, he'd know every thought that they had, every experience that they've had, every single ant. And I thought about this too, and I remember hearing something recently, and I wanted to look it up to make sure I was right in remembering it as I tell you. But so ants are really, really tiny, right? They don't weigh much at all. But if you add up the weight of every human in the world, roughly, and you add up the weight of every ant in the world, you know, it's like roughly equal. There's that many ants on Earth. There's so many more ants than there are us. And I think I saw that we weigh on average 1 million times more than the average ant. Okay, but if you add all the ants up, they weigh about equal to the number of humans. So I thought that was really interesting. But think about that. You know, they're so tiny, they weigh so little, and God knows every detail of every ant's life. And ants obviously don't live nearly as long as we do, right? And he knows every detail of every single one, every animal, every kind of creature, whatever. God is so great. And you can just see that again in just the world around us. You know, appreciate for a moment what a blade of grass that, you know, this grass here, it's not like we got to replant it every year. It gets frozen for months at a time every year, and it comes back just as green as it was the year before. Same with these trees. You know, how great is God to be able to design something, some natural thing that just comes back and grows, just like, and be able to bear with seasons. We can't stay outside in the winter months for that long. You know, I challenge you to stay a night in winter without having something crazy to keep you warm. That'd be tough. You might not even survive. But like verses 1-6 talk all about the glory of God. And then when you move on to verses 7-11, they talk about God's word, right? 7 says the Lord's teachings are perfect. They give strength to his people. The Lord's rules can be trusted. They help even the foolish become wise. So the Lord's laws are right. They make people happy. The Lord's commands are good. They show people the right way to live. And I know even that point right there, and even verse 9 says, the Lord's judgments are right. They are completely fair. When you talk about scriptures like that, that's where I think in our culture we get challenged the most, right? Because how easily have you heard, I'm sure all of us have had friends or heard somebody, you know, take a scripture and say, well, that's not right. And maybe even as we read it, it's like, wow, that does seem a little strange. God, how does that make sense? And maybe that sows a seed of doubt in our mind about God's word. But let me assure you that God's word is right. It is always correct. The judgment is always exact, pure, and far above what we could hold as a high standard. A lot of times we think because that doesn't make sense in our mind, then that means it's not right. But go back to those other few verses when we talk about how great God is and what he was able to create and orchestrate, right? He was able to create all of us, knows every thought and moment of our life. Every ant, every bird, every squirrel, every lion, every whatever, every fish. He knows every detail about their lives. So God's mind is clearly so much higher than ours, right? So anytime you're thinking about doubting the word of God, any scripture that you find in the Bible, just know that you can trust God. You may not understand it. It may never seem right to us, but just trust God. Trust God in those moments because his word is right. It's always right. And you can rely on the greatness of God and how good and great and big he is to know that there, even if you don't understand, you put yourself in a position, God, this doesn't make sense to me, but I trust you. Because in the scriptures that I do know and I do understand, I see that clearly. And I know you're greater. So I'll just help me to trust you in this moment. And then there's a few verses at the end that really struck me. Verse 12 says, people cannot see their own mistakes. And then the psalmist, the writer, turns around and says, because up until then he's been talking just about God, right? And turn around, he says, so don't let me commit secret sins. Secret sins. What is that? It could be sins that you hide from other people or sins that you don't even know that you're making. We're fallen in such a way that we don't even realize how much we sin all the time. Little decisions that we make, thoughts that run in our head that we act on, even without thinking about them, that are sinful. which is why it's so important to all the time just turn around and, God, I don't know what I may have done today. And some of the things I do know what I did today, and I know that wasn't right, but please forgive me. Always be of a repentant heart. Go back to God and just ask Him to forgive you. There's so many things that we do on a regular basis that we just don't know. You don't know. And then he continues in verse 13. Don't let me do what I know is wrong. Don't let sin control me. If you help me, I can be pure and free from sin. And then a lot of times we think pure and we automatically go to, you know, sexual purity. But that's not where you should just stop the word pure. To be pure before God is to be holy. There is only one person who is completely pure and holy, and that is the Lord. You could also say the angels are pure. They don't know sin. They've never sinned. So they are pure. They are allowed to be in God's presence. Okay? But none of us are completely pure. It's not just a sexual thing. It's all about being pure of mind, being pure of heart, pure of thought, pure in our actions. There are so many other ways where that word can come in and intersect in the way that we think and behave. And so the psalmist says, don't let me do what I know is wrong. There's so many times we do things we know that wasn't right. I've had that probably, I think just today, I could probably think back and give you examples of things I just did at work. If I could rewind it and put my Jesus hat on, I know that wasn't right. Let me go back and say that over to that person again. Maybe not do this thing. But again, being humble, going back to the Lord and asking Him to help us live that righteous life, that holy life, because we can't do it without Him. Okay? And he says, you know, help, don't let me sin. If you help me, I can be pure and free from sin. But we've got to let God do that. It can't just be empty words of prayer. It can't just be a desire of our heart. It's got to be something we honestly and earnestly every day continue to strive for and take real tangible steps towards doing. And then in verse 14, the last verse, he says, may my words and thoughts please you. Lord, you are my rock, the one who rescues me. And when I read that, may my words and thoughts please you. Our thoughts, obviously, are not always things that we can control in a moment. You can let yourself go on down a mental path and thinking about things that you know you shouldn't, or let yourself go to a place where you shouldn't be going. You know, like I think about somebody I know who's going through a really tough time right now, and she's like all absorbed in what's going on in her life. Her daughter got in an accident. And she had her kids in the car. So her grandkids were in the car. They weren't buckled up. Her daughter was just being irresponsible. Her daughter got hurt. Thank God her grandkids were safe. Nothing happened to them. But she's all in this situation. She's not safe. She doesn't know any better. But she's all thinking, just obsessed with her situation and what's wrong and what's wrong. And there's a point where, yeah, as a mother, as a grandmother, she should be concerned. And there's another point where it's just not helping. It's being unhelpful. So, you know, don't continue to dwell there. Another person that works with me, she's getting ready to go into surgery. She's really scared. It's back surgery. That's serious stuff. And she's like all worried. I said, don't be worried about it. Wait till 5 minutes before you go into surgery. Then worry about it. It's not going to do you any good to worry about it till then, you know. So our thought life, you know. But the other side of that too is those instantaneous thoughts that we don't really control, that fleeting thought that just runs into your mind. Where'd that come from? It says, may my words and thoughts please you. And sometimes our words are like that too. How often do we say things right off, you know, just on an impulse, and we didn't mean to say it, but it came out, and once you spoke it, you can't bring it back in. Okay? And the key to that is just don't beat yourself up for it, but don't do it again. Ask God to help you, not help me not to do that again. You know, whether that was saying a word you shouldn't have said, talking to somebody a certain way that you shouldn't have. And the most important part right at the end, it says, Lord, you are my rock, the one who rescues me. The perfect foundation, the ending note to that beautiful song. You are my rock, the one who rescues me. We can see how great God is by looking around. We can know how good he is by reading his word and how holy he is and how holy he expects us to be. And we can go back through, like I said, those last three verses about don't let me commit sin, whether I know it or not, whether I'm thinking it or not, whether I said it or not. Don't let me commit sin. Help me. But I depend on you, Lord. You are my rock. You're my foundation. You're my strong tower, the one I take refuge in. I need you to rescue me and save me. So I wanted to share that so that way everybody has an understanding of who it is that we're getting ready to worship. That's why I did things a little bit backwards today. We're not doing worship first. I wanted to bring the word first so you can get an idea of who it is that we're getting ready to give honor to and give love to and give praise to. Because he's that same God who created every ant that's ever walked on this earth and known every detail of their life. And every crying baby in the background. Crying for no stinking reason. Because his brother stole his grocery cart. He knows all those details. And even having that great of a mind, being so far and high above us, knowing all intimately all the details of our mistakes, he still loves us more than anyone else can. Your dad's with you today. Yep. He loves you a lot. Yep. More than anyone else here. But not more than God. And I'll bet you love him.
Yep.
More than anyone else here. But I'll bet you God loves you more. And God loves him more. And he makes that space for us. He's prepared a space for us. He loves us so much. And it's wonderful just thinking about how great God is. So with that being said, we're going to get into some worship and give some praise to the God that loves us. Amen.